So it's a little bit funny, but I did a little research. I was just kind of thinking through, what is meaningful to speak about? What's God been impressing in my heart? And I could pretty easily like cherry pick things out of the Bible, and but I thought it'd be a little more methodical, right? So I did a little research and I uncovered the five shortest books in the Bible. Okay. So 2 John is the shortest, 1 chapter, 13 verses. 3 John is 1 chapter, 14 verses. Then Obadiah, Philemon, and Jude. So the next 2 weeks, today and next week, I'm going to go through 2 John and 3 John. So you can tell Henry when he comes back, hey, Robert like plowed through two books of the Bible. It's taken us like 6 months to go through 1 Corinthians. So of course I'm kidding. But and I'll tell you honestly, like I wasn't really sure what I'd find going through these books, and I was surprised. I didn't expect a lot. But then I just got thinking. I was like, wow, like when God speaks, like he proclaim, like another word is proclaim, right? He proclaims things. It's the same word that God used to create like the heavens and the earth. Like he just thinks a thought and he says something, and like water and air and birds and vegetation and like all of these like life cycles and the blood and like he just thinks it and he says it, and so it's like the power of his word. So 13 verses, and we're only going to go through 11. Like 11 verses in 2 John is like really meaningful, and God's got a lot to say. So let me just pray before we start, and let's just pray that God would, whatever comes into my brain, whatever sound waves come out of my mouth, right? That God, the power of the Holy Spirit would come behind it. He'd make it useful and effective, right? So let's pray, okay? God, we confess, God, we need you, and we need supernatural power, God, from the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the things that we cannot see, God, to the glory and the worth of your Son, God. You say, blessed are you that do not see, and yet you still believe, God. So help us, God. Bless us. Shine your face upon us, God. We need your mercy and your grace, God. Who are we, God? Who are we? Just a few people, God, coming together, and God, we're nobodies, and God, we need to see the worth of you, God, and your Son, your glory, your holiness, God. You're not like us. You're set apart, God, and we're so stuck. I'm so stuck, God, in this life and just all the things that come in, the physical realities, God. And I need, and we need, God, your Son to be magnified, God, and to be lifted high, and for us to gaze upon his beauty, God. So help me, God, help us today, God, as we embark on a very spiritual thing, God, a very supernatural thing. We need you, God. We trust you, God. You say that your word goes out and you don't let it come back empty-handed. So we claim that promise, God, as inadequate as these words might be, God, that you come and bless us, God. Bless our children, bless our families, God. Bless our newcomers and just people that are coming, God, through these doors, whether it's today or in the next few weeks, God. So bless us, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So we're going to go through 2 John today. So the Apostle John, right, is one of the 12. And he's one of the three of the 12, right? The innermost circle of Jesus. So he walked with Christ. He saw the things that Christ did, and he's credited with writing five books of the Bible, right? So the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelations, right? So And he refers to himself, I don't know how to feel about this, but I mean, I guess it's a good thing, but he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, right? So he's like, he's got this thing, right, with Jesus. He's like tight with him, right? And, you know, when you do like a 30,000 foot view of all of John's books, I think, at least for what's important today, I think there's two things that are particularly like emphasized by John. Like, he's like, you know, he's got all these stories to tell, he's got all these things to say, but then, well, at least for today's purposes, there's like these two things, right, these two stakes in the ground that he's not gonna like back off of, right? And the first thing is he talks a lot about truth. Okay, and what is truth? I mean, truth is an idea, right? Truth is a set of beliefs and things, right? These ideas that float around. And, you know, so when you talk about relative truth, it's like, well, you can believe what you want to believe, and you live in your own world that has its own rules and its own constructs, and I can live in my world and I got my own rules. And that's relative, right? But then there's like this truth of God that supersedes and is above and is holy above all these other truths, right? So it doesn't even matter what I really think. It matters what God thinks. Okay, and he says, Jesus is the word. He is the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth and the way and the life. And John's emphasis here, right, not, we'll see this in 2 John, but also in his other books, is that God as the truth, and what he's like adamant about doing is bringing people to bind him, right, bind us to him in that truth. Right? There's like a connectedness that we have. So we share. See, he uses words like, we, you know, you have to share with me, right? You have to share with who I am, right? So it's like, just imagine like this tight grip, like God wants us to share with this truth, okay? So he says things, right? Like, I'm the good shepherd, and the sheep, they know my voice. And he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father through me. I am the vine. Right, this is all from the book of John. I'm the vine. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, right, that are grafted into, our roots are connected to Jesus. He says, abide in me, and my words will abide in you, right? Remain, and make them one as we are one. So those are all from the book of John. And, you know, he's like, and John is kind of part, I mean, all the other writers in the New Testament are, of course, saying that, but he's like particularly set on like, you gotta hold, right, this mindset about who God is, okay? So let's read a quote. Let me read a quote for you from A.W. Tozer. And he's kind of saying the same thing, okay? So, man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion, right, or no religious life has ever been greater than its idea of God. Okay. Worship is pure or base, or is high or is low, as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. For this reason, the gravest question before the church is always God himself. And the most portentous fact about any man is not what he at any given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. Okay, so what is he saying? He's saying, your life, my life, our experience in following Jesus and loving him and obeying him and this religious life that we live is only as high as our understanding of how high God is. So if you have a low view of God, you're just not going to have a very meaningful life, I think, a very meaningful spiritual life at least, right? And so when the reason we preach and the reason we teach and the reason we have growth group and the reason we talk about God's word is because we're trying to raise the bar, right, from a common understanding of God to a uncommon or a holy understanding of God, right? But we're finite, so there's limitations here, but there is a work that the Spirit does to raise the roof or the bar or whatever it is, right, so that we have a higher understanding of God, right, that he's not like us, right? So I tend to think that my view of God's love, for example, right, is like my love. And I'm not a very loving guy, so that must mean God's not a very loving God, right? No, his love is not like my love, right? We talked about that like, you know, months ago, right? He is like the mostest. It is a higher love, right? His grace and his mercy is a higher grace and a higher mercy. Things that I cannot even fathom, right? His justice and his righteousness, his fury and his, it's just different, right? It's set apart, okay? So we've got blinders, right? And John is trying to say, right? Like, I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to help you see, right? That you wake up with a certain idea about God, and I'm trying to explode that into infinity, okay? So that's one pillar, right? That's like one thing John is all about, right? And the second thing I think that he's all about is that he really, 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 really cares that those who are in Christ, right? If you love him, you love one another, okay? And he says that a lot. I found at least a dozen references just by John, right? And there's many more, right? Just saying that. And he says it in different ways, and Jesus shows us in different ways, and we're going to like dig through some of those examples. But he's connecting those two ideas, right, in 2 John. Like, you got to know God. You got to see his glory. You got to raise the ceiling in what you understand about God and how you know him. And you got to love one another. And there's like a direct correlation to those two things, okay? So let's read, let me read for us 2 John verses 1 through 11. The elder to the elect lady, this is John the elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. Because the truth that abides in us, right, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and love. Okay. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one that we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. Because many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what you have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Okay, so there's three points or things I want to try to draw out of what we just read. First is just going to be some of the context, right? So the first four or five verses, we'll talk about like who is John talking to, what is he saying, why is he saying what he's saying, and then I'm going to talk about the old commandment and the new commandment to love one another. And what does that really mean? And he defines it kind of in an odd way, at least for me. And then talk about, you know, why, right? Why does he call us to love one another? And what are some of the responsibilities that we have as believers? Like, why, right? Do we do that? And it's just like this weighty responsibility to watch out for one another, okay? So the context, right? So the first five verses gives us the context. And apparently John is writing to this Christian woman and like newish believers, okay? He's pleasantly surprised, right, that there are people walking in the truth, in the faith, right? So I can infer, right, there's like newish believers, right? So imagine with me, right, like, hey, there's like a new family that comes, they're not believers, they come to our church, then they become believers, they get saved, right? Like God does his stuff and he works in the heart, he pricks it, and there's like just a flowing out now, right? Like this dam has been broken, and just like, oh my gosh, like Jesus and love and like the Holy Spirit and God, and I just like love this guy Jesus, I don't even know who he is, right? And so just imagine that, right? There's like a family coming, and And John is like speaking into that, right? He's speaking into that family. And this is what he says. Let's read verse 4 and 5. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now, right? So he's addressing a need here, right? Like, you guys are walking in truth. You kind of found the Jesus, right? You kind of see him now. The curtain has been torn. The veil's been taken off. The scales have fallen off. You kind of see him. But I'm asking you, right? I'm exhorting you now, dear lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one that you have heard from the beginning, right? That we love one another. So, I mean, like, if you're a, like, just imagine with me, like, so verse 4, right? Rejoicing, right? You're walking in the truth. I mean, if you're like a parent, right? And I'm still sort of learning how to be like a Christian parent. Like, how do I raise my kids, you know, like to actually love Jesus, like at all, right? And, you know, because I don't think we were necessarily raised that way. I don't think most of us were. So I get surprised, right? I get surprised like once in a while, once every 3 months or 6 months or every year, like Abby might say something kind of spiritual and she'll say like, man, Dad, like, let's pray together. It's like, oh, okay. That's great, right? Like, that surprised me, right? And like, as a parent, right, like, if you care about that, like, those moments, like, your heart just, like, wants to jump out of your chest, right? It's like, well, I don't know what I did. Like, you know, I should be glad this kid is not going to, like, head to jail or something, right? Like, she, like, wants to pray, like, once in a while. Like, wow, right? And just, your heart is just leaping out of my chest, right? And I think John is feeling that, right? He's feeling that for these new believers. Like, I don't know what I did. I'm just talking and preaching and writing letters. But, man, like, one family out of many, right? Like, man, you want to know Jesus, right? Man, I'm happy about that, right? There's, like, not a lot of other things that would get me more happy than that, okay? But then he says in verse 5, hey, wait a minute, okay? Now I need you, right? Now this is my exhortation. I need you to focus in here on something. And it's not old. I mean, it's like not new. It's not really that new. It's kind of actually what God has been saying this entire time, okay? Which is to love one another, okay? So like in high school, right? I used to read all these books, right? Like The Great Gatsby and Animal Farm and Catch 22. And I had to Google this, like, well, what do high schoolers read these days? Like, you remember like Pride and Prejudice and, you know, and when I say read, what I mean is like I read the back of the book or like Cliff's Notes or I skimmed the Cliff's Notes, right? And any good teacher, right, on a test or like a quiz, like they'll ask questions to test whether you know like what's really going on in the book, right? Like they can ask, okay, well, who are the main characters? And, you know, but they ask questions that test the intent of the author. Do you really get what she was saying? You know, underneath all that, is Animal Farm really about animals? Is that really what it's about? Or is there like an underlying, you know, political thing that's going on there, right? And like, that's why I got like a lot of C's and D's, right, in English class, because I didn't read the books, right? I didn't really get it. I didn't really get the intent. I read, you know, I skimmed through the Cliff's Notes and skimmed through the back of the book. And I was like, wow, I really didn't get that, right? I thought it was really about pigs and horses that were like having a tough time with each other, right? But that's really not what Animal Farm's about, right? And this is kind of what John is saying, right? He's saying like, hey, look, like you're kind of getting it, and that's good. But I need you to remember here that there's like this underlying thing. There is an intent that God has been getting at in all of Scripture, all the law and all the prophets. And here it is. You got to love one another. And I don't know, for me, like, that's not what I expected to hear John to say, right? If there's, like, one thing that God, like, John wants us to remember, like, to love one another, it's not, like, I don't know, to pray or to read and, you know, to serve more or to, you know, I mean, there's, like, and he says, like, there's, like, one thing I need you to focus in on here, right? This is the emphasis, is to love one another, okay? So let's keep reading, verses 4 through 6. So I rejoiced greatly, I'm going to read 4 again. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were commanding you not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one that we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. Okay? That was weird for me too. That's not what I expected him to say, to define love. Okay? Because elsewhere, the writers define love in different ways, right? There's no greater love than this, than he who laid down his life for his friends, right? Serve one another, bear one another's burdens, right? So what does he mean by that? This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. Okay, so we'll dig into that, okay? So there's two things there that we talked about, right? The referencing of this old commandment, right? Which is not really, it's not really new. It's kind of old. It's kind of the thing that God's been getting at this whole time. And then talking about, like, well, why do you define love that way? So let's talk about that, okay? So, I mean, if you've been with us for a while, you know, right, like we've done a lot of overviews of the Old Testament, right? I'm going to try to do it in like 3 minutes here. But so God, he gave a law to Moses, right? He brought him up to Mount Sinai and he showed him his glory and he gave him a law that he wrote on tablets, right? Which is the Ten Commandments. And then throughout Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy, like he's expounding upon that law. So he's giving him these laws and these commandments and these constructs by which they have to, these rules essentially that they have to live by, right? So, hey, you gotta love God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength, right? You gotta, you have no other gods before me. You can't use my name in vain. Don't murder, don't covet, don't envy. And then he talks about, right, like clean and unclean and holy and unholy and worship and Levites and priests and sacrifices and burnt offerings and grain offerings and, blood offerings. I mean, like sin offerings. And it's just like this like massive, that was way too fast for like five major books of the Bible, like Genesis through Deuteronomy. But that's what's happening. Like God is unpacking now these commandments and these laws and these rules and these constructs, right? And what he's saying here is that all of that, right, all of that and all of the prophets, all of the Old Testament, God is really getting at really one or two things. And that's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love one another as yourself, right? And you know how I know that? Because that's what Jesus said, okay? So Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law, right? And he says to him, and Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. Okay, so that's not an excuse not to read the Old Testament, but that's kind of a pretty good overview of the Old Testament, okay? I mean, that's kind of great. Like, Jesus is saying, on these two things hangs every single word that God said, right, in the law and the prophets. That's kind of important, okay? We got to hold on to that. And then, John really says the exact same thing, right? So 1 John 3:10 through 11, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Okay. And Galatians 5, 13 through 14 takes it even further, actually. He says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? That's kind of important, okay? When he says the whole law, right, is really for this one thing, I mean, we got to like tune in and zero in on this, okay? So what John is saying, right, in 2 John, right, at the beginning is like, hey, I'm kind of referencing all those things that Jesus said and all those things that all the other apostles are saying, right? The old commandment and the new, it's not really that new, right? It's the old thing. That's really, he's interpreting now the Old Testament. And this is the intent the spirit of the law, which the Pharisees did not get. Right? They didn't get the spirit, right? They didn't get the intent, right? That's why Jesus really condemned them, is that you're kind of missing out, right? You're like, you're reading the Cliff's Notes, but you're like not really digging in and getting into the meaning of what the author's really saying, right? And what God is really saying is, you got to love me and you got to love one another, right? In a radical way, right? Like, love is such a, right? It's like, it's a tough word these days. Like, I love McDonald's, right? I love, you know, Oreo McFlurries, right? I mean, like, but when he says love, he's saying, like, you love me more than your children, more than your spouse, and more than your family, right? Like, you have to love me in a way that kind of, like, makes that look like poo-poo. Like, you got to love me in a radical, treasuring, like, supernatural kind of way, okay? So that's the first thing, right? Talking, referencing the Old Testament, right? The second, okay, and this is important here, John is making a connection between that and a definition of love, okay? Which, to be honest, is not what I expected, okay? So verse 6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments, okay? And like I said, there's like all these other definitions of love that Jesus gives. And so it's like, okay, is it contradictory? Like, what's going on here, right? Because he says, like, canceling debt and bearing one another's burdens and forgiving one another and reconciling and considering other people's needs above your own, and, you know, exhortation and discipline and correction and laying down your life for your friends. Like, those are all definitions of love that people are giving, right? So I don't think John is contradicting that. I think he's focusing it, okay? He's saying, this is love, that we walk according to God's commandments, that we follow Jesus. All of those things are following Jesus, right? It's and I think the emphasis here is, like, he's saying it's really about him, okay? When you love, this is love that you follow him, okay? You do everything that you do for him. So, so what he's saying for us here is, like, you know, if you want to love, like, if you're a husband and you want to love your wife, right, you don't love them because they're primarily lovable, right? They may be lovable, but you don't love them because they're lovable. You love them because you want to follow Jesus. Okay, and you want to follow his commandments, and you want to follow him wherever he takes you. Okay, when you want to, like, if you're, like, ambitious about loving your church, right, and your growth group and, like, home group, like, loving different people and different people that come, if you're ambitious about that, like, what God is saying, like, you don't do that primarily for them. Okay, you don't serve them for them. You don't honor them for them, right, because they deserve it. You know why? Because they don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it, and we don't deserve it, right? We can always find issues, right? He's saying, you do it for me. You do it because this is love, that you follow me, right? And, you know, he goes even as far as to say, Jesus is like, you got to love your enemies, right? I'm not sure if a lot of us have enemies here, but, like, I mean, there are people that are hard to love, I would presume, in your life, right? Whether it's at work or wherever, right? And, you know, he says crazy things. He's like, you can't just love people who scratch your back. Don't just scratch the back of people who scratch your back. I'm telling you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Right? And you know why? Because you do it for me. Right? Okay. Let's read a couple other passages where God and Jesus are really saying the same things here. Okay? So John 21. So this is Jesus talking to Peter after Peter's denial, right? After Jesus dies, Peter denies Christ, and, you know, he meets him for breakfast at the lake, right? And Jesus said to him, Peter, the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Right, I jumped a few verses. Follow me. Okay? So Do you know what he's saying to Peter? Right? You don't feed the sheep because the sheep deserve to be fed. Okay? You don't bend over backwards for each other, right? I don't care if you're married or dating or you got roommates or you got coworkers. You don't like do it because they deserve it. If that is your metric, you will never love anybody, right? You will you'll always find something, right? You love them because you want to follow me. Okay, let's read Matthew 25:40. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. This is actually, this kind of hit me recently, Lord. I didn't really know, this is kind of what he was saying. Whatever you do unto the least of these, my brothers, we literally serve Jesus, okay? So when you're out at a yard sale getting your hands burned because you're cooking these corn dogs that Changwon wanted us to cook, right? And, you know, you are literally serving Jesus, okay? He says, you do it for me. You can imagine, I'm giving Jesus a couple corn dogs, okay? When you take a look at your bank account and you gotta portion out certain sections to give, you know, to people that are in need within the church, right? And it's kind of painful. It's oh, I got all, these budgets and, right? It's you are literally, what he's saying is you are literally serving Jesus. You can imagine Jesus saying, man, that's it right there, right? You do it for me. Right? When you are coming here in the morning, you're setting up early and, you know, it's hard and no one else is here and you said 10 o'clock and everyone's showing up at 10:50. I'm sorry about that. But, you know, you are literally doing that for Jesus, right? He says, you do it for me. We are literally serving him. Okay. I've been told that I should try not to use a lot of marriage examples because I'm scaring people off from getting married. But here's one, okay? Just don't be scared. Marriage is great. It's really great. If you've been married for any amount of time, more than 6 months and the honeymoon period is worn off, right? Whether you're a husband or a wife, you know how hard it is to serve your spouse, right? You know why? Because it's not just once. It's not just twice. You've got this full tank after the honeymoon and, you know, it's and then you're just like an ATM machine, right? Giving things out, right? And just withdrawing, withdrawing, withdrawing. And it's man, it's okay the first 999 times, and then it's the 1,000th time that I got to do the dishes again, right? Or I gotta cook again, and there's no gratitude, there's no thank yous, there's no nothing, right? And you get into this mode, right? I mean, I get into this mode, and we get into this mode, right? And you keep counting. It's it's like the guy in the jail cell, the tick marks on the wall, right? Again, 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 right? And that counting will crush you. You know what I'm saying? It will rock your world. And then maybe they do kind of a nice thing and say a thank you. It's okay, well, let me erase one of those tick marks, right? But you still got the 999 tick marks, right? And so it's hard. And the flesh, it hates feeling like a servant, right? No gratitude, no thank yous. You know, you don't know how hard I work, right? That's the common thing the husband says. And you have no idea how hard I work at home. And, you know, the wife says. And then Jesus shows up on the scene, okay, right? These are the problems that we're having, right, with one another, right? This debt, right, that we're counting and counting the costs and holding it against each other. And you know what he says? Well, let me tell you what he doesn't say, okay? He definitely doesn't say, how dare he? How dare he not say thank you, right? That good-for-nothing husband, right? How dare she? I cannot believe she's not more thankful for everything that you do. I cannot believe, you know, she didn't say sorry first or he didn't say sorry first. I cannot believe he's being so stubborn. That's not what he says at all, anywhere in Scripture, okay? You know what he does say? Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Not because they deserve it, but because you do it for me, right? Wives, submit, and this is a hard one, okay? Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. You don't do it for Tammy doesn't do it for me, She does it for Jesus, okay? She does it because she loves him. And she trusts that command, okay? Love one another and outdo each other in honor, okay? Whatever you do unto the least of these brothers, you do it for me, okay? Let's read John 13, 5 through 8. And Jesus poured water, right? He poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel and that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, okay, this is important, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Okay. You know what he's saying to Peter? If you don't let me wash your feet, right, and now I'm calling you to go out and wash all these other people's feet, and you don't let me wash your feet, then you're going to run out of steam real quick, because you're going to do it for yourself, right? You're going to, the flesh is going to get pricked. It's going to get hurt. And he says, "I have to wash your feet. You have to know that your Jesus, your God, your love, your first love gets on his knees and he washes your feet, then now you've got a power from on high. You can wash anybody's feet, right? You don't share with me, you can't go out, all right?" So, I know a lot of us are feeling stuck in this area, right? We feel stuck because we're serving, we're giving, and you know, it's like, oh, it's like you feel the flesh getting inflamed, right? Man, I just feel like I'm getting treated like a servant. And, you know, you don't hear the thank yous and the gratitudes, which we can get better at, by the way. But, right? But you can't live off of that, right? You can't live off of the thank yous, right? Because they're not always going to be there. And we don't feel this sense of, like, wonder and awe. Jesus washes my feet. You know what I'm saying? Like, the guy who nailed him to the cross, he's coming and he's washing my feet, right? And I'm going to grumble about washing your guys' feet, right? It's like, no, you can't do that. You got to share with me, right? You got to let me wash your feet first before you go out, right? Like Mary and Martha, same thing, right? Mary chose the better portion, right? She sat at his feet and just loved him, right? And just connected. It's not that Martha was doing a bad thing, but you have to share with, you got to know Jesus washes your feet, okay? Let's keep reading John 13, 34 through 35. This is actually, I didn't realize this until yesterday, but like, this is actually connected, right? So this is like at the end, Jesus says this at the end of that whole thing. After he washes all their feet, right? And he's going around. This is what he says at the end. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Okay? So we are in how we love one another, in how we wash each other's feet. You are proving to the world that Jesus washes your feet, and that is a privilege. All right? So let's keep reading. So that was meant to try to be the second point, right? That like loving Jesus, loving one another, and I think what John is saying is really about following Jesus, right? If you're loving one another as the end, you're going to be really disappointed, right? You're going to love that tough coworker and you have expectations that they're going to like have gratitude for what you're doing, right? There's no gratitude there, right? Or even your spouse. I mean, your spouse, I mean, you love each other, right? But there's disappointments. And church members, there's disappointments, right? I mean, just like the people you live with. I mean, you have expectations and they get disappointed. And if that's the fuel that ignites loving one another, man, that's going to run out real quick, right? But if the fuel that ignites your love for one another is that you can wake up and his mercies are new, and he washes your feet every day, right? He cleanses you, and he draws you in. Man, people doing radical things, right, for Jesus. So let's keep reading, okay? Verse 6 through 11. Let me wrap up here. This is the commandment, okay? Just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For, okay, and let me pause there because that word for is really important, okay? Anytime you see that word for in the New Testament, the better word is really because, okay? It's a connecting word in the Greek, okay? So this is the commandment that you've heard from the beginning that you should walk in it. Because, right, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves. Okay, there's another important word. It also means take care of one another. Watch yourselves, okay, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Okay. So what is John saying here? I think he's making a really important point here, okay? This is the commandment that you should walk in it because there are deceivers out there that are lying, right? And they're deceiving and they're implanting lies into your mind that you don't have to serve one another and you don't have to love Jesus, right? And you can live this life here and Jesus is like kind of, he's going to come, but he's kind of not going to come and really not a big deal. So plant your roots deep here. You live for the here and now, right? That's what the deception was. And he's saying this commandment to love one another, I'm giving it to you because of those people, right? I mean, what he's saying here, to say it a different way, is our love, it keeps one another, okay? When you love each other here and you love the body, you love people that are coming in our doors, it keeps them, okay? And I don't care, I mean, I don't know if you're like, I care if you're a Calvinist and, you know, like thinking about like perseverance of the saints and God keeps us. Yes, of course God keeps us, right? But how God gives us the means to keep each other to the end is by how we love one another. Okay? Because he says, watch one another, right? Watch yourselves, watch each other, so that you do not lose what you have worked for. Okay? That word, watch yourselves, is the same word in Hebrews 3, okay? Take care, brothers. Watch yourselves. Take care, brothers. Okay? Hebrews 3:12. Watch yourselves, right? Watch one another. Watch each other's back, okay? Lest there be in you an evil, unbelieving heart that leads you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. You know what he's saying? Okay, I know God keeps us, okay? That's an amazing promise of God. But you know what he says? He's giving us the responsibility, right? In how you love one another, right? In how you exhort one another, in how I speak into you and you speak into me, right? And I'm like unwilling to like see this thing and you got to be persistent and you got to correct me and you got to make sure I see it, right? What you're doing, you're helping me not become evil and not to become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's what that's saying. So you have a responsibility to help keep me to the end. And I have a responsibility in how I love you, right? To keep you to the end. And that's just how God does it, right? Like, I know he keeps us, but that's how he keeps us. All right? And I believe, right? I mean, just thinking through this, I believe with all my heart, right? The deepest part of my heart, every time that I'm not sure if I serve you guys well, but every time I serve you guys, right? Or you serve me, or you invite me over, or you invite my kids over, you take care of my kids, right? It's hard, right? Or you bring me food, or I bring you food, whatever it is, right? However we're loving one another, caring for each other, I believe you are helping keep me to the end. I really believe that, right? You know why we make a big deal about meeting really often as a church, right? like multiple times throughout the week. You know, Hebrews says every day. You got to meet with one another every day, right? We're not doing that. But you know why? Like, I have a conviction that as hard as that might be to meet with one another, to make that time, we are keeping one another. Okay? That is a tremendous privilege that you have for me and I have for you and that we have for each other. Okay? Let me close with this. 2 Corinthians 8:1-5. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Okay? This might sound kind of morbid, okay? But I don't think about these types of things a lot. I'm just trying to think of examples here, right? Stories, right? And I'm not wishing this. I'm just, I don't know why my mind thinks about random things sometimes. But if we ever shut our doors here as a church, right? Just hypothetically, not wishing for it, but let's just say, right? Who knows? God knows, and, you know, he keeps us up and afloat by a very slender sliver of grace, right? So if that were to ever happen, and I got to go out, and I got to look for another church, right? And I got to look for where I'm going to go and where I'm going to graft into, right? You know what I'm going to look for? After having read this and studied, you know what I'm going to look for? I'm going to look for people, right, that go well beyond their means to serve me and my family, right? Like, well beyond their means, because it's like kind of tough and they're inconveniencing themselves, and I can see them struggling to do it, to care for me. Not because I like being served. I mean, like, I do like being served, right? But that's not the primary reason, right? Because I know then, right, that underneath that, man, they love Jesus like crazy, right? They do it for him. If they're persisting in that, and they're just looking for opportunities to serve, they're like, they got this love and this like firebox passion for God, just to love him and follow him. And I want to be around guys like that, right? And I want to be like that, right? I'm not saying I'm like that. I want to be like that, right? And you just hear these stories, right, of like people, like these Christians who like just, they don't even have a lot, and they're just so generous, right? And they just give, and they might not even know that they're keeping me, right? Like, when you, like, you know, like, I don't think about this all the time, but, like, when you guys do stuff for me and for my kids, and, like, you know, when we're going through tough times, and you're coming over and giving us food and taking care of our kids, like, you know, like, I might not think about it in the moment, but I'm reading this, I'm like, man, these guys are keeping me, right? They're keeping me to the end. God is using them, right? A tremendous responsibility to keep me to the end, right? So I implore all of us, right? I don't think we're shutting our doors, right? Like, I want you guys, I want to exhort you. I want the Spirit of God to exhort you, right? Let's be that church, right? That just gives beyond our means, right? Like, we are inconveniencing ourselves. We're injuring our flesh, right? We're having to, like, take time out of the days that are really difficult to take time out of, right? I'm inconveniencing Tammy when I leave her with three kids and I go out, I got to go out and buy someone dinner, right? Like, that's like, it hurts, right? Because then I got to figure out how to do it. Like, you know, we got to work that out when I get home, right? Because she might be upset at me. So, like, you know, it's like, these are injurious things, right? They injure us and they inconvenience us, right? But, like, man, I want us to be that church. Man, I want to be that kind of guy, right? Because when you receive it, I feel so well kept. I feel like I want to run harder for God, right? I want to run harder for Jesus. And so it is the grace of God, right, that comes behind all this to give, right? Because we just see him as he is. We see his worth. We see him washing our feet. And we know we have this responsibility, right, to keep each other to the end. Okay, let's pray. Let's just take a moment, just a few minutes, and let's bow our heads, and let's just walk through a couple things. You know, if I know, right? I know it is hard to serve and to feel wrung out, right? And if the grace of God and the Spirit of God is not coming behind that to wash your feet and to draw you to the feet of Jesus, to love him as he is, let's pray for that, okay? Let's pray that God, because that's a supernatural thing, right? I'm not just going to convince you with some silly stories, right? That is the Spirit of God who has to come behind that to draw us to see the beauty of Christ and our first love, right? So let's pray for that. Let's pray for supernatural power from God, that he would speak into us and give us the very things that we don't have, right? Like, I'm not a very loving guy, God. I need you to help me to be loving, God. And I gotta see you, God. I gotta follow you. That's how I'm gonna be loving, right? Let's also just meditate over areas where, you know, and I fall short, and you know, I'm these are things I'm praying through right now. God, what does it mean to be faithful in this area, to love one another, right? How do I injure my flesh? How do I inconvenience myself to magnify the glory of your Son? That he is worthy and amazing. He's worth it, right? Maybe it's forgiving and canceling debt, and you gotta have faith that when you take a step of faith and courage to cancel the debt, you're not gonna, you know, it's not gonna feel good, but you gotta pray that, you know, the Spirit would come behind that and that he would help you to see that you do it for him, right? Because he does it for you. And let's just ask God, God, just show me the cross. Let me wipe away all of that, those tick marks that I have against everybody, right? Just cancel it, God. Just crucify it. God, I just want to give freely for the glory of your Son, God. And I want to just do it so generously, so joyfully, right? Of course, your spouse is sinful. Of course, right? That's not news, right? Of course, your coworkers are sinful. Of course, your parents and your siblings, and of course they're sinful, right? It would be wrong to expect them not to be. Of course I'm sinful, right? If I've ever, like, let you down and I've not met your expectations, of course I am, right? But you don't do it for me, right? You do it for him, right? So let's just ask God to just cancel the debt, right? And just erase all those tick marks. Okay, let's pray, and we'll have the team lead us. Thank you.